parents. You don't get discipline from your parents. You don't get discipline from your parents, from your grandparents, from your older brothers and sisters. You don't get discipline from an external source. You have to get it from you. That's what self-discipline is. You get it from yourself. You get it from you.
Some of your best motivation might come wrapped in sandpaper. Some of your best inspiration comes with some pricks and some nails and some thorns around it. Some of your best inspiration came in an experience that you didn't ask for, you didn't want, and you never want to have again. Some of your best inspiration, some of the very thing that's fueled your soul to get you here, came in an experience that you dare not wish on your enemy.
Things we've worked the hardest for, we value the most. So I think, you know, the purpose of a goal is not getting it anyway. The purpose of a goal, you know, is who you become. Who you become is going to make you happier. It's going to make you sad.
Every day in 1,000 different ways, we are trying to improve ourselves by learning how to do things. We spend a lifetime gathering knowledge in classrooms, in textbooks, in experiences. Now, if knowledge is power, if knowledge is the forerunner to success, then why do we fall short of our objectives? Why, in spite of all our knowledge and in spite of our collective experiences, do we find ourselves aimlessly wandering, settling for a life of existence rather than a life of substance? There may be many answers to this question. Your answers may be different than your associates or your spouses or your friends. While there may be many answers to this question, the fundamental answer is the absence of discipline. Applying all that we know. That's the key word, discipline, self-discipline.
The greatest misunderstood concepts for people who are trying to excel, who have dreams, that want to do things. Talent you have naturally. Skill is only developed by hours and hours and hours of beating on your craft.
You don't try to build a wall. You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
And soon you have a wall. It's difficult to take the first step when you look how big the task is. The task is never huge to me. It's always one brick.
I would say reading is the strongest signal for success in the future that I've ever seen. It is the strongest, strongest, strongest. I got my first job in radio when I was 16 years old, because I've been broadcasting since I was 16 years old. But my first job I got because I was a great reader. When you are a great reader, you can articulate and speak and command the English language in ways that other people cannot. And people think you're a lot smarter than you are, lots of times, because you're a great reader.
When you take an L, you take the right L, you like, I'm gonna be very cautious on that next move I make. If you're smart. So number one, every single day, I want you to go to bed at night, stop playing games, and be honest about the wins and the losses. So I always remember where I came from. I remember all the L's I took, because when you forget the L's, that's when you like, you big and bad. I remember.
I always tell people the most valuable lesson I got from my mentor, Jim Rohn, was I asked my father to work two jobs. We were always broke. We had no money for food. And we lived in a community we moved to, which was, I thought they were all rich and we were on the other side of the tracks. It was lower middle class, but compared to where we lived before, these people seemed rich compared to us. And I just didn't understand it. And Jim said to me, Tony, it's not about the value of your soul. It's about the value of you in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And your father's skills are not that valuable. He was an underground parking attendant, and he would take people's ticket and make change. Well, the research now shows, it's being done at Yale, it's being done overseas in England as well, and they found that 40% of all jobs they project in the next 10 years are going to disappear because of technology. It's going to be replaced by an algorithm, it's going to be changed. You know, all these guys on Wall Street, you're seeing all these algorithms take over and they're getting rid of all these traders. Right? It's changing radically in these hedge funds. There's 3 million truck drivers. Self-driving cars are here. In the next 5 years, they will be the standard, certainly within 7 or 8 years. Are you going to hire someone who can only work 8 hours a day and sometimes gets drunk or can make a mistake when you can buy a machine, write down the machine, and be in a position where it works 24 hours a day driving? But no one is telling these drivers this, and they have to retool now. So technology is the biggest challenge. Labor is less valuable because of efficiencies with technology, and it's going to get better and better for technology, which is scary when you think about what's going to happen for jobs. So I say to people, you've got to participate in your own rescue. You've got to retool yourself. The idea that Bernie Sanders has of providing free education sounds wonderful, but the education he wants to do is community college. There are no skill sets in community colleges today, for the most part, that are going to prepare you for the economy or a job that's there. So what is that going to do? You're just going to waste more money, more time. We need to retool ourselves. The government's not going to do it for you.
Do we sit down and let change just happen to us? Or are we just watching change happening around us? Or are we aware that change is happening within us? Or are we going to be those proactive people who make sure that we affect what happens to us? Change also produces four types of people. They are in this room. First of all, there are people who watch things happen. Now, let me say something about change. This is important here. Not all change is improvement. You used to weigh 128. And now you changed. And for some of you, that's not an improvement. You lost your wardrobe. You lost your ability to climb up steps fast. You even lost the quality of health that you had. Change doesn't mean improvement all the time. But the problem is, without change, there can be no improvement. So you have to decide what to do with change. Change will happen. And if you are not careful, it could be destructive. So you have to determine, what kind of change do I want in my life? And I want you as a young person, as a mother and a father, as a business person, to think about your company even, or your family, or your educational pursuit. What kind of classes do you want to take in college this year? What kind of grades do you want? What kind of relationships do you want to have in your life? Who do you want to drop and who do you want to pick up in your relationships? What kind of people do you want to associate with? Where do you want to travel that you've never been? What are the books you need to read you never read before? The changes come with choices. So what kind of person are you?
Sometimes your dreams are flirting with you, but you're not letting your dreams flirt, because all you're doing is saying, I know what you're trying to do with me. You're just trying to get into my pants. Of course your dreams are trying to get into your pants.
All the storytellers are kind of gone, and the actual understanding of our users is gone. We've lost all that sensitivity, and yet I feel like that sensitivity comes first from really knowing yourself.
Never, ever give up. You can change and you can move around, but never, ever give up.
There's a saying that says, you can lead a horse to the water,
but you can't.
But you can't make him drink.
You plan. But what about if this comes up? You don't get caught off guard. Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Fail big.
That's right.
Fail big.
Well, you want to do, and particularly if you're starting a company, you need to work super hard.
That's how you get better. And by the way, that's part of life as well. That's what makes it juicy to want to keep getting better.
I mean, sitting back and watching television, that's playing defense. Provoke, inspire. Don't just get involved, but inspire others to be involved. That's playing offense.
Sometimes in life, to be successful, oftentimes, most of the time, you have to follow your instincts. You have to follow your gut.
There is a moment in the life of every generation when that spirit of hopefulness has to come through if we are to make our mark on history.
Remember that. Just because you're doing a lot more doesn't mean you're getting a lot more done.
The ability to manage yourself very, very, very well, you know, or at least well enough where you almost become compulsive about getting certain things done.
is being able to laugh with your team about some of the crazy stuff that happens. And, you know, you can't take yourself too seriously. You have to take the job seriously. Right. You have to take your responsibilities seriously, but, you know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself first and foremost in order to be able to manage the whole thing.
It's the way you view the world. It's the way you view things, money, life, marriage, business, freedom, relationships. Those processing that you have here, it's okay to change those things, but not your personality.
Like, if you're here, you probably kick a lot of ass at something. You were probably the best at something. You have ambition. You're a risk taker. You have learned to hack.
You will fail at some point in your life. Accept it. You will lose. You will embarrass yourself. You will suck at something. There's no doubt about it. I'm telling you, embrace it, because it's inevitable.